Getting there on time just isn't good enough. Traffic and weather on the 10s with Wills and Snyder in the morning on WTAM 1100, Cleveland's news radio.
What a week he has led us through. Matt Granite, Channel 3's morning news, Will's Ways to Save. We have made it to Friday, and you're talking TVs this morning?
TVs tied to Valentine's Day.
Okay, I'm all in. What you got?
So, Bill, if you had to guess, single best time of the year to buy a television, what would your guess be? And I'm sure you're not going to say Valentine's Day.
No, I'll go back to Black Friday, I think.
Smart. Okay. Yep, that's the single best day of the year.
I follow
if you hear
you.
Any consumer reporter on TV trying to tell you that the Super Bowl is the best time of the year, that is completely incorrect. It is Black Friday all the time.
Stay with Granite. That's how I knew that. Okay, so why are we talking TVs today then?
Well, this is interesting. The desperation that we're seeing from retailers is actually tied to what happened at the Consumer Electronics Show where I presented at the beginning of the year. The release of 8K televisions, which is a futuristic phenomenon for a lot of us and not something we'll buy anytime soon, means 4K televisions are now not only getting further reduced, but they're basically hitting a sale where stores need to move stock to make way for new inventory.
I got you. Okay.
It times out perfectly with Valentine's Day. And they figured, well, you know what? Let's just brand this as a Valentine's Day flash sale. Shoppers won't know the difference. And then we'll hit them again come Super Bowl time. The interesting thing, in the almost two decades that I've been hunting down deals, if you look at the price points today, which I've loaded up to WTAM.com using the keyword save, you're going to see the TV prices identical to Black Friday.
Wow. That's big savings then.
Absolutely. The difference on Black Friday, you'll see hundreds of televisions reduced. For Valentine's Day, it's dozens of televisions. But if you stick with the list, I will make sure you score the biggest screen bargain you possibly can, whether it's for your sweetheart or yourself. We do have you covered.
I love it. Hey, we got to do a shout-out. Met a lady last night, Tracy. She timed her morning trip with you about now. She should be at West 25th, so I just hope she is. I just want to make sure I mention that, okay?
Tracy, that's awesome. Safe travels, and I am honored to be a part of your vehicle.
Matt Granite, Channel 3's Morning News, Will's Ways to Save, WTAM.com, keyword save. See the deal and what he's talking about for the TV. Have a wonderful weekend back here same time Monday morning, okay?
You got it. Awesome.
You get Mike Stoddy Sports Mornings at 15 and 45 past. Coach Lou was listening. He followed your instructions. And we've got a little lineup change, right?
Yeah. All right, good. Going bigger. I guess a little lineup change with a bigger lineup now. Tristan Thompson back in the starting lineup. That means he'll be at the center spot. That can move Kevin Love over to power forward. And Jay Crowder will go to the side. J.R. Smith stays in the lineup, though. That might be a little surprising the way he has struggled. Here's Tristan on getting back into the lineup.
You know, Coach made adjustments. You know, as we come in and start and, you know, do what I've been doing. You know, bring energy, play hard, set screens. I was starting before I got hurt, so I'm starting again. So I already helped this team get back on the right path. That's all that matters.
And the other part of this, according to Coach Lou, is that Tristan will be able to help Isaiah Thomas when Isaiah needs some help on the defensive end of the floor. So we'll see how it plays out beginning tonight with the Cavs and the Pacers. 7:30 tip. You can hear it right here. Boy, they are just due to go out and do a number on somebody. They're 0-3 against Indiana this year. Well, the draft of All-Stars by LeBron James and Steph Curry took place last night. We didn't get to see it. I think we're going to see it next year. We can tell this, that LeBron, with the first pick from the guys that were named as the starters, he's chose Kevin Durant. He also is bringing Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving together with him again.
You know, I just try to pick the best available players, you know, to be able to team up back with Kyrie. You know, it's always special, along with Kevin Love, just for us to have another weekend to bring back some of the memories that we had when we were all together. So Kyrie was available on the draft board. He's one of the best point guards that we have in our league. So, you know, it was an easy choice for me.
Well, the All-Star game coming up in about 3 weeks in L.A. Now, speaking of Kyrie, a report by Cleveland.com says that Kyrie went as far to threaten to sit out the season and even have knee surgery if the Cavs didn't trade him last summer. Irving, I guess, needs a procedure of some sort on the knee that he injured in 2015, and he threatened to have it then. It's not hindering his play right now, though, for the Celtics. Ohio State looking to stay unbeaten last night in Columbus, taking on Penn State. Bucks trailed most of the night. In fact, they were down 6 with a half minute to play. They would tie the game on a Kata Bates Diop 3 with 5 seconds to play. Then this.
Penn State gets it inbounded. Carr from high on the left throws.
No way! You got to be kidding
me! Carr from the left point. He pulled up just past half court and banks in a three-pointer. Tony Carr to win the game. for Penn State, 82-79. Just when it looked like Ohio State was going to get it to overtime, Tony Carr pulls up and knocks down a cold-blooded three.
But if that had been an NCAA tournament game, that had been one for the ages. Instead, the Buckeyes lose it. They taste defeat for the first time in the Big Ten. Senior Bowl practices are winding down. Browns are observing and meeting two of the top quarterback candidates in Baker Mayfield and Josh Allen. Allen has had accuracy issues, but does have some great throws. Well, Mayfield is just trying to show people he's not another Johnny Manziel. And speaking of Manziel, it doesn't look like he'll be the poster boy for Vince McMahon's XFL, which will return in 2020.
You want someone who does not have any criminality whatsoever associated with him. And in the XFL, even if you have a DUI, you will not play.
Eight teams, and he's taking the fun out of it. I don't know. What's the point, Vince? Home of the Indians and the Cavs, Mike Snyder, News Radio WTAM 1100.
That money's not going to them unless they sit down and negotiate peace.
President Trump in Davos spent some time with the Israeli prime minister. He's got a big speech today. Our Bill Zimfer joins me on the story. Hi, Bill. What's going on?
Well, good morning, Bill. I really think that Palestinian issue was the news of the day yesterday when he met with Benjamin Netanyahu. He was talking about aid to the Palestinians and saying that money will not go to them unless they come back to the bargaining table. Well, the Palestine reacted, saying if Jerusalem is off the table, which is what the president said yesterday, Jerusalem's out of it. If Jerusalem's off the table, then so is the United States off the table. The president also added that the Palestinians disrespected the U.S. by not meeting with Vice President Pence during his Mideast visit. So that is an issue that is going to continue to bubble along as we move through this World Economic Forum here, and it'll be interesting to see what happens. That whole situation, this is my analogy on that, Bill. Mm-hmm. It's like if your radio station there was going to hand out a big $10,000 bonus, and it came down to you and Mike Snyder.
You both put in
claims to it and had good reasons to put in claims to it.
Right.
And they brought in somebody from the outside like me.
Yeah.
And I said, okay, it's going to Snyder. That's off the table. Well, wait a minute.
You're done. You're out of here.
About that, right? Yeah.
Good analogy. I like that, Bill. Us and the world, though, today, President Trump, a lot to be said or heard about this speech he's making, right?
Yeah, we've heard a lot about what he's going to say, that it will be America first, but not America alone, of course, and promoting his first year in office. But one thing we have also heard is going to be included is that he will say the United States will not tolerate intellectual property theft or forced technology transfer. Now, this is a direct shot at China, even though he will not mention them by name, because for a long time it has been standard operating procedure. If you want to do business in China, you got to hand over your technology or your intellectual property. So that'll be a shot at China without mentioning by name. But the president should get mixed reviews today. He'll get some positive responses, but there will be some eye rolling going on as well.
State of the Union next week. All right, Bill Zimfer on it this morning. Bill, thanks. Have a good weekend, too.
You too, Bill.
Fox's Chris Wallace joins me on News Radio WTAM 1100. At the end of the day, how'd you score last weekend when it finally all ended?
Well, I think you'd have to say the president and the Republicans won. The Democrats got themselves into a box, particularly when the Republicans were able to portray it as you're shutting down the government and hurting 300 million legal citizens of this country to help, no matter how sympathetic you think they are, people that are ultimately in this country illegally, the Dreamers. I think that was something that Democrats really couldn't sustain. And the only thing that I think you give them credit for is that they were smart enough to realize that they were losing and to end it quickly. So, you know, this is the old line, if you find yourself in a hole, stop digging. Chuck Schumer and the Democrats, stop digging.
Well said. He's already spoken to a joint session, but officially next week, the State of the Union. Should be interesting for the mood in that chamber, Chris.
Absolutely, and particularly because it is an election year, and election years are just plain different. The last time he spoke, it was 3 months after he'd been elected president. Now it's, 8, 9 months before you have the midterm, so it's a highly political mood. Interesting to see what the president is going to push. Generally speaking, not much gets done, and if it does, it's going to have to be very bipartisan. I think there's a possibility for an infrastructure deal. Democrats always like that. There's a possibility, and frankly, I think probably a necessity, for some kind of immigration deal on the Dreamers in return for tougher border security. And my guess is the president has spent a lot of time talking about what he accomplished in 2017, and particularly the tax cut plan, which passed on a straight party line vote, and the fact that the economy is roaring. Whether you like Donald Trump or not, GDP, the growth is up, unemployment is down. We hit a new record high on the Dow Jones every week, it seems.
Yeah.
So, you know, my guess is he'll in effect be campaigning for Republicans and saying, look what we accomplished, and, you know, keep giving us the keys to the car and we'll keep improving the economy.
I'll get you out of here on this. Please allow me. I know it's a formal setting, but could you imagine Donald Trump just kind of walking around the floor of Congress for the State of the Union with his microphone like an old Donahue, just going from member to member and to talk about dealing?
Well, I could actually see him more like Oprah saying, you get a car and you get a car.
But it is a formal setting.
It's a formal setting, but I will tell you, there is this one thing, which is that people line both sides of the aisle that he has to walk down. And literally,
right.
This is one of the great stories in Washington, because you're not allowed to save a seat, so you have to go and park yourself and sit there, and you'll see the same familiar faces that are there every year so that they can get on camera shaking the president's hand, sometimes, you know, whispering something at whoever the president is,
sure,
about, you know, I got this issue in my district. And, you know, it's always the same. So it'll be fun to watch with President Trump on Tuesday.
Look forward to it. Fox's Chris Wallace. Watch him on Fox News Sunday. Thanks, pal.
Thank you, Bill.
News Radio WTAM 1100. This is Bill Wills. Love this weekend, this time of the year, because the Oscar nominations are out. There's some buzz. And Kevin Carr is with us at FatGuysTheMovies.com. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, how are you doing today?
Good, buddy. Before we get to the good stuff, one release this weekend, The Maze Runner, The Death Cure is out, if you want to go check that out, right?
Yep, the third in the Maze Runner series, another young adult book adaptation where it's sort of post-apocalyptic, kids have to save the world that's already kind of been in a mess.
Now, this weekend, as I say, Oscar nominations out. You, this is your job. You see everything. Then you have, you know, movie buffs who like to see everything, and then you've got passive people that just use the movie as entertainment. And I set that up because I just want to run some pictures by you that, you know, there have been nominations for, and maybe this is the weekend you finally get out and catch up on some of these. So let me just do some drive-bys with you, okay?
Sure.
All right, Best Picture nominations include The Shape of Water, and I would note, I think overall it had the most nominations in different categories, Kevin?
Yeah, I think it was one away from tying with, like, Titanic as one of the most nominated films of all time.
Mm-hmm. Good flick?
Absolutely. You know, Shape of Water was one of my favorite ones out there, and I think that that's the one that's, you know, if you look at what's been winning in other awards, I think that one's kind of the front runner. There's no real strong front runner like they have in the past, but that one seems to be picking up the most solid wins in other categories and award series.
Also for Best Picture, I hear a surprise, Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, which is not really a place, I guess, huh?
No, it's based on an original script, but this one also I think is a good front runner. Again, there's no real strong front runner, but this one also has been picking up a lot of some Best Picture wins here and there, and it's been getting a lot of buzz over the years.
Lady Bird, Story of a Girl, but I want to mention the director too, Greta Gerwig. Boy, she's getting a lot of buzz on this thing, right?
Yeah, this one's a big one in terms of noteworthy. It's one of the most well-reviewed movies of the year, and also Greta Gerwig gets her first solo directorial effort. So she not only gets a nod for Best Picture, but she gets a nod for Best Director. I don't think she's going to win simply because the Academy doesn't like giving it to first-timers, and that's sort of the theme you're going to see this year.
Kevin Carr is with me at FatGuysTheMovies.com, getting his take on the Best Picture nominees for Oscar. Okay, The Post, which I have seen, Meryl Streep, Tom Hanks, I liked it. I mean, it is what it is as far as a newspaper story. I thought she carried it for the most part. I keep hearing maybe overlooked as far as nominations.
Yeah, it's not racking up the nominations that you'd expect, especially for a Steven Spielberg film. And the big note is, like you said, Meryl Streep. This is what her like 500th Academy Award nomination.
Yeah, right.
But she certainly deserves it, and I think the strongest match is the Best Actors category. That's kind of the one that might be most up in the air.
Daniel Day-Lewis, Phantom Thread. Can we get Lincoln out of our mind when we see this, or what?
You know, I think this one was oddly not not campaigned as well by the studio. They did it very selectively, and so it's gotten nominations. It's gotten a couple wins here and there, but I really don't see it as one that's a real threat to anybody in any of the categories.
All right, Get Out. What do you know about this one?
Now, this one's interesting because this is the one directed by Jordan Peele. It's kind of like a horror movie, political satire, somewhat of a dark comedy. And I don't think anyone expected this one to get a Best Picture nomination, also Best Actor and Best Director nomination. Now, like Greta Gerwig, I don't think Jordan Peele is going to win simply because it's his first one. This is sort of a debut effort. It was a socially relevant film, and I think it pleased a lot of people to see it get nominations the way it did, and that's great. But when you have nine or ten nominations for Best Picture, it's not as likely it's going to happen.
Kevin Carr, FatGuysTheMovies.com. Final minute. Call Me by Your Name.
This is one that's again sort of getting a lot of traction, and a lot of people tend to like it. I wasn't a huge fan of the film,
okay.
But it is one that is getting note. Here's the thing that's so weird about the Academy is they like to pick their social issues from year to year. And last year when you had Moonlight win, which was sort of your LGBT movie, this one has LGBT themes, and it might get overlooked by the Academy just because they tend to say, hey, we did that social issue last year.
Let's finish up on World War II. Two movies I love: Dunkirk, Darkest Hour. A lot of talk about Gary Oldman. Really, I thought two very good movies.
Yeah, if there's a shoe-in, Gary Oldman, I think, is going to win for Best Actor because he was fantastic in that movie. And what's interesting with Darkest Hour and Dunkirk, I think that they were two separate movies that could be edited together to make a complete long movie because one's all story leading up to the Dunkirk invasion and the other one is just the action of the Dunkirk invasion. In terms of Best Picture, I don't think either one's going to win, but yeah, it's not a surprise that they showed up.
Good take. Get out and see them this weekend. Kevin Carr, FatGuysTheMovies.com. Check his site out, too, for more movie news and reviews. Thanks, Kevin.
All right, thank you.
Well, Bill, I actually looked into it because you asked me about it. So I have to give credit where credit is due. You asked me over Christmas about it. And what MoviePass is, it's basically Netflix for the movie theater, where you actually go to the movie theater. And, in fact, the founder of it used to be with Netflix. So what you do is you pay $9.99 a month, sound familiar, and you get to see as many movies as you want at your local theaters. And some of the biggest names are involved in this. Cinemark, Regal, AMC, some of the biggest chains are involved in this. Not some of the small local theaters you'd have in Northeast Ohio, but the big chains.
Okay.
And what you do is you can go to one movie a day. But here's the thing, Bill. If you just go to one movie a month at $10, you paid for it.
Exactly. You're saving money already. So it sounds like there's a lot of pros to this, John.
Yeah, there are a lot of pros. I mean, if you're somebody who might go to two or three movies a month, and a lot of people do, I mean, it's absolutely a good deal because, you know, you can see a movie, a first-run movie, as low as a buck or two a month, which is great. Now, this is the thing. It is first-run movies. So we're not talking about one of those theaters that shows last year's movies.
Okay.
No, we're talking The Force Awakens and all those movies just announced for the Oscars. You can go see any of those, you know, what is it, Lady Bird and some of those others. You can see those movies, Dunkirk, any one of those. The catch is, there's one catch,
okay.
And it's that you can't pre-order your tickets at home because it's based on movies that have seats for you. They don't want the movie pass people filling up the theater. So you can't reserve, say, 6 hours ahead or a day ahead at home. You actually have to go to the theater and then click on your phone. It's all phone based on your app. You can't reserve the seat until you get to the theater. So that's kind of a downside.
Okay.
You want to see a super hot movie. You know, you want to see, you know, the Last Jedi as soon as it comes out. You get to the theater and it's sold out and it won't work. And then either you go home or you see another movie. So that's the one downside, is that you can't book it in advance. But otherwise, if you're just a little flexible, you like going to movies, you see two or three a month, Bill, I say sign up.
Movie Pass is what we're talking about. Now, don't be confused. You say there's also a movie club that Cinemark has too, right?
Yes,
okay.
Cinemark has their own. If you go to Cinemark a lot, they have their own, and some people tell me that one's actually a little more flexible.
Okay.
And if you just use Cinemark, that one might be a little better. But otherwise, check out MoviePass because you can really save some money.
Good. I'm glad you checked into it. My daughter Serena was asking me about it. I said, I know just the guy to ask, and that's John Matarese at News5Cleveland.com. John, thanks much.
Great talking to you, Bill. Thanks so much.
Great follow on Twitter. Great read always. Terry Puto, Cleveland Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com, graduate Benedictine, and eight-time Ohio Sports Writer of the Year with us on Friday on Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Steiner. Hi, Terry.
Hello, Mr. Will.
Let's get on the Cavs first and the talk of the change, the lineup change. I guess Tristan back at center, Kevin Love. What do you think?
Well, it's something. How's that?
You didn't add anybody, though, right? No, no trade.
Well, I still don't know. I still don't like that starting guard tandem of tell me again what J.R. Smith did to stay in the lineup.
Yeah, good point.
I was surprised by that, too. And, again, I can see with Tristan, you got to try to help Isaiah out there, and he should be able to do that at least a little bit when Isaiah's on the floor.
Right. I have no problem, because Crowder was another sort of, basically, in my mind, that in the lineup, they're two lost souls by that. I mean, they didn't seem to be taking part in the offense or anything, which were Crowder and J.R. But the problem is also J.R. was playing such poor defense. What, the other night I think he played 28 minutes and didn't score? And he's not really guarding anybody. So we shall see how he goes and uses people off the bench, but it's something, I guess.
Terry, Joe Vardon with Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com, reporting that he's learned that Kyrie Irving went so far as to threaten to sit out the season if they didn't trade him and even undergo surgery. This whole thing is one of the bizarre tales of sports in our town, isn't it?
Right. I thought when they did the you know, how Aldridge wanted to be traded from San Antonio, but they worked it out, and Kyrie, that why couldn't it have happened in Cleveland? It was a totally different thing. Kyrie really, really, really wanted out. I think Aldridge wanted to feel some love from Popovich is really what I thought. So I don't know how much of that is true, but it wouldn't surprise me if some of those things came up because, you know, Kyrie was trying to build his case to get out of here no matter what. I felt from that moment all that broke, they should have traded him, and I still do. You know, you wish the trade would have worked out better, but I think it would have been a miserable situation had he returned here. You know, he wanted what he's gotten out of Boston, which is to be, you know, one of the focal points in the league on a team where he was the biggest name.
And he's got that now. One final take from you on the Cavs. Trade rumors have kind of cooled down, but the trade deadline is still a little over a week away, almost 2 weeks away yet.
February 8th, I believe.
So what do you think they will make? They're going to make some sort of move, aren't they?
Yeah, they almost always do, even going back to when Chris Grant was the general manager, so I expect something. I mean, you talk about a yawner. That was that sort of George Hill, Shumpert, and Channing Frye deal. It's like, I mean, I guess it's better, but that'd be their 84th point guard. I don't know. I hope they come up with something a little more with a little more sizzle than that.
Let's go to the Browns as we've got months still to the draft, but lots of speculation already as John Dorsey eyeballs the quarterbacks at the Senior Bowl. Baker Mayfield, Josh Allen are there. What's your vibe at this point on what the Browns are likely to do?
What it's been for a long time, which he's going to really push hard for a significant veteran quarterback, whether it's Alex Smith or somebody else, and then, you know, grab one of the guys that he really likes. One thing I do want to say is off of that, I give, and I've been very critical of Hugh Jackson, I give him a lot of credit for hiring Todd Haley. That's a real offensive coordinator with a strong personality who will call plays, and I didn't know that Hugh would actually do that. I thought perhaps he would hire somebody, you know, like that Zampezi guy, and move him up, or somebody that he felt, quote-unquote, he could control. He didn't do it, and so I will give him a lot of credit for that.
All right, Terry Puto, Cleveland Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com. Follow him on Twitter, Terry Puto, and see his posts and writings to Cleveland.com and the Plain Dealer. Terry, thanks. Have a good weekend.
Take care, guys.
Be good. Home of the Cavaliers, Bill Wills, Mike Snyder alongside, and Jim Jones joins us this morning. Our morning Cavs update brought to you by Huntington. Want a bank that believes in looking out for its customers? Welcome to Huntington, and welcome Jim Jones. How are you, pal?
Morning, guys.
Indiana tonight. Mike Snyder, let's start with the news. The lineup change as we know it is...
Tristan Thompson will start. Jay Crowder will now come off the bench.
Jim Jones, what do you think of that?
Well, I think it's a good situation. It wasn't Crowder's fault. It's just that they couldn't take advantage of what he does best. He's a catch-and-shoot guy. The defense was so screwed up, but it oft times left him as the fall guy, trying to rotate and cover somebody at the rim. and he got in foul trouble early. So it was really frustrating for him. He probably would have a better chance playing with that second unit, who seems to be playing a lot better together than the Cavs starters. But you got to think about what Tristan gives you. And if he can do a few things well, you know, we'll be fine. One thing that I noticed that Coach Lou had been talking about is that they always try to keep K-Love and Isaiah in high dribble screen situations, which takes them farther away from the basket. You know, we're not fooling each other. You know, they're not the greatest defenders, so they really struggle in defending space. With Tristan out there, when teams do the high dribble screen with Isaiah, he can take that guard, so there's no need to double. You know, it'll be a one-on-one situation, so that part of the defense becomes a two-on-two defensive situation where everybody else can stay home and be alert. I like that. And that's where our weakness is. You know, we're not looking for Tristan to score 20 points. We're looking for him to help us improve our defense.
And hopefully that will be the case beginning tonight, Jim. There's no magic wand that you can wave over things. This team has gotten into this hole over a period of time.
Yes.
But hopefully now they can climb out of it. But Indiana has been a tough opponent for them to deal with this year, haven't they?
Yeah, they have improved team play. You know, the strength of Indiana has been their guard play. You know, their guards have been outstanding. Collison, Stevenson, Oladipo, and Joseph. They're relatively young kids. They play an up-tempo style of play, and their bigs have been competitive no matter whom they've played against. That's Jefferson, Turner, and Sabonis, and Miles Turner has been hurt. And they've played reasonably well lately. The thing that I watch, guys, is if a team is looking to improve themselves, and the Pacers have been struggling for a few years, even when they had Paul George, how are they doing against the sub-500 teams? They're 15-7 against teams they should beat that have a record less than 500. This is a team that's going to be tough in the second half of the year. They're feeling good about themselves. You have to be concerned about their guard play. Mike, you remember we came, that was the second night of a back-to-back. Remember, we had a 22-point lead, and Nate McMillan, who's doing a fantastic job, they went into a three-guard front, and they caught us. You know, that three-guard front, the spacing, and then the pace of the game, it just wore us down.
Jim, when you look at the Cavs right now, Isaiah Thomas, we know he's coming off of the injury all the time that he wasn't able to play. Now he's had some games under his belt. He's almost to a point, I guess, when you look at the number of games played, that he's almost through his preseason. He has been struggling. What are your thoughts? Can this work with Isaiah? A lot of people are questioning, will Isaiah, in the way he plays, work with this team? What are you seeing?
Well, I think he will. I think he will. I don't know when, but I think he will. The struggles with Isaiah have been the struggles of that whole starting unit. That wasn't a good starting unit. They were really struggling. You know, they were really struggling. You know, they would start the game playing competitively. I don't know if fatigue was a factor or other teams just making adjustments, and we didn't seem to have the ability to adjust to changes with that starting lineup. You know, we always talk about the starting lineup is supposed to set the table for your bench players. Well, it worked the opposite for us. Our bench set the table for our starters. Starters were always coming in either with a deficit or when the opponents had momentum, and they through just the force of playing together well, they were able to overcome a lot of that. Now we need our starters to stand up like men and start playing the right way. You know, that was a quote I just read this morning about the Pacers when Nate McMillan was talking about his team. He said, hey, we just want to play the right way and respect the game. And it is that simple, guys. We have the talent. I don't care what strategy you have on offense or defense. If you do it together and you do it consistently, you'll win games in this league. This isn't rocket science.
Good take. Jim Jones going to the Cavs Pacers game tonight. Have us on the way. Sports Feed, Nick Camino and Glenn Forbes at 6. Cavs Now follows. Mike Snyder, and then the Cavs Pacers tip off 7:30 tonight. Catch it with Jim Jones and John Michael here on News Radio WTAM 1100, home of the Cavs. Detroit here Sunday, then at Detroit next Tuesday. Jim, thanks, pal. Have a good weekend.
Thank you, guys.